Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We've got an amount of optimism, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
All right, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection show here. Jeremy Moss hanging out with in transit Chris Hodges at the moment.
Hello.
And this is, dude, man, week two is already here.
Yeah, week two is already here at the time we're recording this. There is a week two game starting tomorrow.
And actually, at this moment, UTSA and Arizona are in battling at the moment.
Yeah, seriously, UNLV, why can't you do what UTSA is doing right now and at least keeping the game semi-competitive?
So if you,
I assume they're keeping the game semi-competitive because last time I just score checked before I was driving home, it was like 26-23 or something like that.
Yeah, I have it behind. I just started the second half. It's 20-16. So this may elevate UTSA to maybe up higher in our underdog poll just because they're both Houston and playing pretty well tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the one thing about UTSA...
Barry Coker.
The Fighting Cokers.
Yes, exactly. They have that going for them. But as for our games here, we actually have two conference games we'll get to. And before we get to the games, this will be one of the last games. But you got... Is Boise State CSU really the game going to decide everything tomorrow or Saturday? Could it?
I mean, it quite possibly could. It quite possibly could.
Because I found is our other Wyoming guy that made that prediction, the WY, whatever his name is on his screen name. He's the guy who predicted this would go for everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And so... It might as well could. And Joshua Carvino, one of our CSU writers, very good at what he does, he also posed this question. Is this game going to decide the Mountain Division? So I'm almost tempted to say yes. But at the same time, though...
It's game one of the conference play.
Exactly. This is still very much game one in conference play. Colorado State is actually going to be missing two of their key players in this game. I believe the safety is out, and Kevin Cartwright.
Yeah, Kevin Cartwright is out.
So,
that doesn't help them one bit.
No, it does not help them quite a bit. And say what you will about DeHart and the fantastic running game that is Colorado State, but also remember that Boise State held an SEC offense, an SEC rushing offense, to 77 yards. And you're like, oh, well, it's Dr. Bo. He's basically their whole offense, but not when you have four or five-star guys running down the hill, too. I mean, they were just stuffing guys behind the line no matter what.
That's very true, yes.
I think we see that this is a very, very good rush defense against what I mentioned last week, which could be one of the best 1-2 running punches in the conference.
So what do you think? So, we'll get to more of this game in a second, but then what do you think about this conference game week one? Because you got this game, Air Force Wyoming.
That's right, we do have Air Force Wyoming.
Do you like these weeks so early?
What?
Do you like these games so early in the season?
Me, personally, I do not, because I follow in Pac-12 tradition. Or Pac-10 tradition, as it was. Because you played all of your conference games the beginning of the season. You play the in-conference games throughout the season, and you save your rivals for the last game of the year.
Unless you're USC and Notre Dame and you're special.
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay, but the only thing I don't like about it is there's three games I really want to see at the same time Saturday night. Air Force, Wyoming, Boise, CSU, and then Hawaii, Oregon State. All start between 10 and 10:30 Eastern.
So, yeah, anyway, the fourth game that I was talking about was the one that I'll be at, which is UNLV trying to rebound against a FCS team.
Northern Colorado?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, actually, there's four games. So let's get going. Let's start at the top, and we'll go through. We all know last week the league did not do that well, but Friday night, there should be a lot of points.
Yeah, absolutely.
However, Washington State at Nevada, what do you think the over-under is?
I'm going to go ahead and put it at 73.
Too high. Only 67.5.
And the spread's 3.5, isn't it?
It's actually up to 4 for Washington State.
So 65. Wow, really? So you're only talking about like a 36-32 game or something like that.
Yeah, 35-31, something like that. Did they not know Washington State scored 38 last week? And Nevada, they scored 29, but it wasn't against an FCS team. This game... I talked to the guys at Kook Center the other day. I did a Q&A with the guys over Rivals, chatting up about everything. This, it's just, like, they ask me all these questions about Nevada, and it's hard to know when they play a crappy FCS team week one.
So it's like, and well, they lost, and they almost lost.
Yeah, well, yeah, they, it's like, well. Yeah,
they really didn't almost lose, but they did nothing to win the game.
If you look at the box score, you'd be shocked how it was that close, because. Like we discussed last week, 40 minutes to 20 time possession. They knock out the starting quarterback. They play well on third down. They give up no big plays. That's great. And for that Nevada defense, they needed that type of confidence. But then again, you're playing an FCS team in Southern Utah and a bad one.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell. I think, here's why I think, because I was reading through a bit more, kind of looking through some stuff on each side. I don't know what I was reading what Chris Murray was doing for the Reno Gazette Journal. He kind of put ranking the units. Who do you think is the better quarterback? He said Cody Fajardo is better than Connor Halliday.
I would agree.
You would think so?
I would think so. Okay. I think Connor Halliday is a complete gunslinger of a quarterback and knows how to throw the deep ball and actually knows how to throw the ball in general. But I think Cody Fajardo makes better reads.
Interesting. I'd probably put it as a pick'em, just because what they do. And with it's here's what Nevada defense can do. They've probably, like we said in the previews months ago, they bring back about 10 starters on defense. They bring back the whole front seven. They miss a DB. That's the issue I think they're going to have is in their secondary. They're going to have put a fifth cornerback on the field the whole time or a fifth safety. And it doesn't matter because Washington State doesn't run well enough or even try to run, so it won't really neglect anything. I think if they're going to make a move, they have the mullet and Brock Hecking and Ian Seau. Probably two of the best defensive ends in the league so far. And even Hecking from last year, all-conference guy.
Yeah.
But they get rid of the ball like a... They'll get rid of the ball and as you blink an eye, the ball's out of their hands, so who knows what type of impact they could really have.
No, absolutely.
It'll be points, but I think I can see Nevada winning. But like my prediction, I talked to those guys. I figured Washington State probably will pull it out by like within about a touchdown or so.
Yeah, I see Washington State's covering the spread. I think Washington State losing last week to Rutgers in a way they probably shouldn't have lost, and they shouldn't have lost the game at all.
They gave up 17 fourth quarter points, and that was it.
Yeah, Nevada should be lucky that Washington State's defense is horrendous, yet their defense is just as bad. So this one's going to be a shootout, folks. I think the score is going to be probably like a
40 plus each, maybe.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and say it. I'm going to say it's going to be like a 52-45 game.
I think what Nevada needs to do, if they're going to win, because I think Nevada wants to avoid a super shootout like that. They're going to need to make a play or two in the secondary because you can't. It's a stupid thing. Their best defense is their offense, but they can't go three and out on offense, which I don't think they'll do against this terrible Washington State defense. But they need to have decent amount of drives because Washington State's going to throw a lot. They're going to go fast. We saw Mike Leach be stupid in the New Mexico Bowl and keep running his fast offense and not trying to even run the ball when it could have ran the clock out. So we know he's going to go super fast. But Nevada, their offense just can't have any short drives. And then they're going to need, if they're going to win, they're going to need to get, say, interception or a few stops. Because they don't want it to go point for point the whole way. Because I don't think Nevada can keep up like that.
Right, and I totally agree with you. I think if this game goes into a shootout, I think it's going to be close either way. But I don't think that in the end, Nevada is going to pull away with the victory.
Yeah, I think if it's Washington State, if it gets about 40 points, it's Washington State. If it can be the winners in say 35-40, then I think that could be Nevada's game.
Yeah, if this game stays in the 30s, I think Nevada wins.
Yeah. All right, this game for folks, so I don't think we mentioned it. Friday night, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific in Reno. So check that out on Friday night. And Saturday, we have a lot of games.
Starting with
Fresno versus Utah. They're, all the games are evening, so if you get the Pac-12 Network, or you can find a way to watch the Pac-12 Network, this game will be interesting. Fresno State at Utah, it's 3 Eastern, noon Pacific there, 1 local time in Salt Lake. Fresno State, I don't know, they're terrible. Can they put anything together? Because when I changed my prediction to 6-6 as kind of a bold thing, they have no quarterback. I don't know if Josh Quezada, he's not even on the depth chart. I don't know what's wrong with him. Their defensive front is terrible. They're just awful. And, yeah, USC might look very good. USC ran 105 plays or whatever it was. But Utah's not going to go any slower than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what to think. I honestly don't know how good Utah is, but I've got a good idea about how bad Fresno is, especially now since Corey Ferguson is gone.
That's true, yeah.
It's just like the hits keep coming for Fresno State. And even after last week, I don't think Burrell or Connett deserve to have a starter spot.
Bring in Zach Greenlee.
Yeah, go ahead. Bring in Zach Greenlee. Let him at least start a series. See what something happens. You know,
because we don't know. The starter, we don't know. They both were terrible. Connett had 3 interceptions. Unless they get Josh Harper involved and they somehow make this huge change, I don't think Utah's that good, but Utah going by double-digit points.
Let's see here. The spread is Fresno State or Utah. Oh, no, Utah's 13, at 10.
13. That's a lot.
13? 13 now?
That's all the points. Yeah, I'm looking over at ESPN right now. 13.
I'll give him 2 touchdowns. I'll give him 13. Hell yeah, I'll give him 13. And this is, and I will be glad if I'm wrong. This is one of those things. It's just like the way Fresno State did pretty much nothing to help themselves last week. They were just thoroughly shell-shocked against USC. And it showed in the body language. I'm not sure if they can recover this week.
Because it doesn't even matter how, because we know, same with Utah, well, same with Nevada. They played an FCS team, a bad one in Idaho State, who Utah State plays this week. But it's like, we don't know what Utah does, but we sure know what Fresno State so far is, and they're pretty terrible. Utah State has special teams. They have Kalen Clay had 2 kick returns for touchdowns. They're fairly deep at the running game. they do have some pretty good wide receivers. Drez Anderson, Kenneth Scott are pretty good. Like, Drez Anderson, 4 for 111 last week. Yeah, it's Idaho State, but still, 4 catches, you're averaging 28 in reception. And Deron Smith, even if he plays the game of his life, and he's not going to line up one-on-one with anybody, unless Utah maybe go 4 wide at times. They can just throw to the other side of the field, he'll get maybe a couple tackles and get one ball thrown his way and take away part of the field, and that won't matter from what we saw for what USC did.
Right.
Because they should be familiar with the offense because it's Dave Christensen there. So, and then Utah wants to go fast, and they saw what USC did. They'll just run up 90 plays on him and wear him out. And the quarterback, Travis Wilson, he can. Here's the thing what Fresno State can really hope, maybe count on. Travis Wilson can make pretty bad errors. Interceptions, he threw, I think the Oregon State game and UCLA game last year, about 10 total interceptions in those two games. So if they can somehow get some pressure, the offensive line for Utah had some changes. They moved some guys from defense to the offensive line during the end of camp. If Fresno can get some pressure on Travis Wilson, make him make some mistakes, that and interceptions, that's how Fresno can hang into it. But I'm not confident until Fresno can get whoever's their quarterback, and they can figure, if they can't figure that out, there's no way they're going to win. It's as simple as that.
The only thing Fresno State has going for them right now is Martez Valier.
Yeah. And he had, 95 yards,
And he can only carry them so far.
And yet Utah's defense is pretty close to what USC had. It's probably one of the last – what's the right word?
Probably one of the better Pac-12 defenses in the conference.
It's up there. It's not as good as what Utah normally is. But with Kalani Sitake there at their DC, he's amazing what he does and scheme-wise. And he, even though it's a kind of a down unit so far, for at least what people are saying, it's still – maybe a step below USC, but still going to be top third in the Pac-12. And the Pac-12 is loaded this year. So it won't be any easier than USC.
Yeah.
And so I'm not. Fresno State's losing. They're going to start 1-3. They're going to lose this week, lose Nebraska, then beat Southern Utah.
I'll confirm it. I think it's going to be a closer loss than last week, but I still think it's 14 points.
Yeah. All right. So Idaho State, Utah State. Utah State rebounds for a 4-touchdown win.
That sounds good.
Ben was not happy when I said only maybe 2 or 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'll give it 4 touchdowns.
And then after the last show, Kyle Fackrell out for the year, torn ACL. That happened during our last show, so we didn't mention that. But our good man Connor got on it. But man, that's a tough break for them. I just want to see the offense look smooth. That's all I want to see. I don't care. They just need to complete passes and get some confidence back, and they should do that. Yep. And let's move on, because we don't want to make this show too long.
Arizona State, New Mexico.
This is where the games cluster together. 7 Eastern to 10 Eastern, a lot of games. Yep. So pick accordingly. This game's on CBS Sports Network, 7 Eastern.
What's the spread right now?
Oh, you want to guess?
Well, you said it opened at 27. I'm going to go ahead and say then it's up to 28.
No, it's actually 26. So is 26. I've looked around. Is Cole Gauchy and Carlos Wiggins not playing?
I do not think Cole Gauchy. He was pretty damn sore at the end of last week's game.
Why can't the Albuquerque Journal give me some dang notes? I could call it Jeff Grammer, but he's more of a basketball guy, but does football too. And if those two guys are out, that's going to be a 40-point blowout.
Yeah, absolutely. Should I go? Oh, you know what? I know where to go look.
Because right now, it's currently Clayton Mitchell or Cole Gauchy as starter on their depth chart.
So this sounds really sad. I'm looking at my college football, fantasy football.
Yeah? Roto World?
Huh?
Are you at Roto World or something?
No, but I am looking at the players, see if they gave any more news.
Oh, that's a good thing. Yeah, they do that. Because I like the Albuquerque Journal. I get a lot of stuff in there, but it seems like sometimes it's missing. But if those two guys are out, there's no way. So I'm looking through. Like, there's stuff from the game, but nothing about unless it's during. Like, no, essentially no update after
Cole
the game.
Cole Gauchy is officially hamstring out for next game, according to this website.
What website are you at?
Fantrax.
Fantrax. I'm going to pull that up.
It's a fantasy football.
TRAX?
Yeah.
Of course it is. I'll keep an eye on that, because my one injury stat I used is no longer in service, and it worked pretty good. So what does it say about Carlos Wiggins?
Right now it says Carlos Wiggins. Expected to miss this Saturday's game against Arizona State after suffering a bruised knee in last weekend's loss to UTEP. So, and this is KOB.com reports.
Who does?
KOB.com.
What the heck is that?
Albuquerque News.
Oh, okay. Maybe I need better sources for that. So did you just go to the matchups? Where did you find this? As we're doing business during the show, did you just go to the game matchup? Can you click on each game or something, or each team?
Well, I went to actually my draft, and I was searching players. It says, here's the article. It says, Lobos likely without Wiggins, Jones, and Gauchy on Saturday. This was on Monday when this was published.
Oh, jeez.
Cornerback Cranston Jones is also going to miss. So, I mean, this is a 40-plus blowout.
Oh, this is terrible.
God, I am sorry, Lobos. I apologize thoroughly.
Oh, it's actually,
I was watching the game, and I saw Gauchy go out with the injury, but I didn't see what happened to Wiggins or Jones.
Okay, I like this website. RotoWire is all over this. Heck, I need to bookmark this to get some injury updates. It's announced, it looks like it's announced, yeah, this afternoon announced that Mitchum starting, Wiggins expect, oh, KOB.com. I thought you said something else. Okay, yeah, check out Fantrax, folks. You can search names, search wherever. This 26-point, because you saw what Gauchy did. Like, I've said it a million times. When he's in the game, the offense moves. He just can't throw.
Yeah.
And if he's on the game, and Taylor Kelly for Arizona State, is, again, probably middle of the pack if in the pecking order of the Pac-12, but he's still, put him in any other league, he'd be top three minimum. Pretty much any Pac-12 quarterback above Travis Wilson, like Cody Kessler, well, maybe not the guy from Washington, but Jeff, geez, guy from Cal. Anybody?
Siler Miles,
Jeff, yeah.
Goff.
Yeah, Jeff Goff. That's, like, there are so many guys that could be top in any league outside of the league they're in. No, this is going to be, there's not much to say. Clayton Mitchell, he can run reasonably well, but he does, whatever Gauchy does, he just has the magic to, it's hard to watch New Mexico if you're watching online sometimes, because that's usually where their games are relegated to. Right. But I don't know if he does a read option so well, he's just shifty, but he can just move that offense. And maybe if Caruso Gongwe gets some more carries in this game after being back to the team, but New Mexico's defense isn't good. Arizona State has a good offense, and Todd Graham's not going to want to lose this game. And this is minimum 30 points. No way. If they had Gauchy and Wiggins, I would say maybe they could keep it within two touchdowns if they play very well.
Yeah,
there's nothing to say. When those two guys out, their two best players are out.
Two best players
are now, plus a third
on a defense that really actually held, you know, they held UTEP pretty well. There's nothing else you can say about this.
Let's move on. That's what I'm going to say. So let's guess the line again. San Jose State at Auburn. What do you think the spread would be?
You said 31 points to open up with. I'm going to say it's dropped down to 29.
No, it's 33.
Really?
I watched most of Auburn versus Arkansas until they had some weather delay, and Auburn had their backup. I went over to collegeandmagnolia.com. I did a Q&A with them earlier today. One of the posters reading, why did Auburn struggle in the first half? Well, they were winning big, and they had their backup quarterback in for the first half because Nick Marshall was out for his weed suspension. And they moved the ball very well. They had 600 yards of total offense. The quarterback, but a guy who actually came in, Nick Marshall, here's the thing that is going to scare San Jose State fans, because we don't really know, let me rephrase that. Yeah, we don't know how good they are because they play North Dakota. Their rushing defense actually improved, but it's still pretty bad. And Cameron Artis Payne had just 177 yards against Arkansas. And as a team, they averaged over 6 yards per carry. And they moved the ball pretty much at will against Arkansas for most of the game. If they screwed up,
33 points is going to cover?
Well, I predicted 41-17, and the comment section over there said that's not enough points. Like, if they hold us to 41, I'm like, geez, relax, SEC fan. Holding somebody to 41 points. And I was being kind of like, I was thinking like, I was going to say 30-something. Like, no, it's going to be bigger than that. I put, I think, 41-17. Because I think San Jose State with Blake Jurek can get some points on the board. And I really do think San Jose State with Travis Reciti and Vance Bugler back. Or Bugler, whatever. Yeah, Bugler. On that Bugler, however you say that odd last name, because I can't say anybody's last name ever. It'll be a little bit better, but I'm pretty sure Arkansas is better than San Jose State.
Yeah.
Unless Tyler Winston and Blake Jurek hit up some big plays on the passing game, which it's possible. It's going to be a long day. And Auburn's top 10. They want to make it back to that, now the playoff. They want to just, they're at home. It's a sellout. It's already sold out, which you should assume. But Nick Marshall, yeah, he only needed to go 4 or 6 last week for 50 yards. Because when he entered the game, it was already 14-7 and 21-7, really, right when he got in that first drive.
Something like that.
San Jose State just doesn't have the weapons. I just think their running game might be a little bit better. But again, like I said, when I told those guys, you know nothing because they played at FCS school. And so it's like, well, they held them there, but how does that really translate from team number 180 to team number 5?
I'm going to go, okay. So I'm going to go ahead and say Auburn is not going to cover, but it's going to be 20 to 27 points.
Okay. Another thing to look at, Auburn averaged over 13 yards per pass attempt.
I don't think Arkansas is that good.
No, they're terrible.
And I think San Jose State, obviously week one FCS, we don't know, but San Jose State came out a lot stronger than what we thought they were going to come out.
And the only problem is Russell missing Jared Lawson, who's suspended for a second game. So if they had him at the running attack, that would help a little bit. But they don't, because they're going to need the depth. They're not going to be able to do it. But they may cover, but it'll be like a backdoor. We'll score in the last little bit. Here's the funny thing. It's a 33-point spread, but 66 over-under. So they're looking at like a 50 to 18 game or something.
Well, which would,
something like that. 50 to 16. Jeez.
I think
it's a loss, right?
The last time, well, obviously it's a loss, but I think the last time a mid-major school came to town that they didn't presume that was that good, Auburn had to work for it.
Utah State back in 11.
Well, Utah State, I think even last year, who did they play last year?
They probably played one of the Louisiana teams that usually do that.
I want to say it was ULM.
Well, they were good last year. Yeah, that's a team that almost went, yeah, they beat Arkansas in overtime when they thought Arkansas was good. And they did not last year. No, it was Washington State, Arkansas, no, it wasn't them, it was somebody else, maybe. That was 2 years ago where they thought Auburn...
No, they played Arkansas State last year. 38-9. Yeah.
We're thinking of somebody else.
Yeah, I was thinking.
There is a Monroe game that went to overtime 2 years ago, but that was when they won like 4 games. Maybe that's what we're referring to. But it's a loss. All right.
No, it's definitely a loss. I think it's closer than what they think.
Okay. So, San Diego State, this one boggles my mind. San Diego State at UNC. UNC is at home. It's actually dropped quite a bit. It's down to 16.
It opened up at 15.
No, it opened up like at 22.
Did it?
It opened up huge, like 3 touchdowns. It was huge. I don't... Did North Carolina with Larry Fedora?
No, because you reported it here. It was 15 points. It was up 1.5 points. So originally it was 13.5.
It was? I thought it was. Maybe it's a different game I'm thinking of. Maybe that was like those summer odds I was thinking about. You know what I mean? Like with the, who is the Golden Nugget who does those really early odds like in June?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm referring to. But still, that seems way too much because San Diego State is a pretty good team.
San Diego State is a pretty good team, but yet again, they played an FCS team. So
but is UNC really that much better to deserve that? No, I don't. Unless I'm just being naive, but I don't think they're that great. Like, it's ridiculous. I don't know.
They were kind of like a dark horse pick to win the was that the Atlantic or the
whatever division?
Yeah,
Coastal. Your ACC division.
Your ACC division. It's either Atlantic or Coastal. Pick one of the two.
One of the two. You know what, Larry Fedora, like he did at Southern Miss, he wants to spread it around, go fast. And again, they smoked Liberty, but they gave up 29 points to Liberty. And if I'm memory serves, Liberty's a pretty bad FCS team.
They are.
And they gave up over 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. They did not start good versus Liberty.
And San Diego State can throw the ball. Quinn Kaler is a Ruffin, is Zill Ruffin. They have Donnell Pumphrey running the ball. Defense is that scheme is always tricky. That hybrid 3-3-5, 4-2-5 Rocky Long wants to run. It's on the road, but I just don't see UNC being that much of a favorite. I'm not saying San Diego State should walk in and win, but 60
points I totally think San Diego State. I totally think San Diego State is. I totally think San Diego State's going to cover no matter what.
Oh, even winning, I'm almost 50-50 at worst. But there's no – that's just 16 points. San Diego State, they – well, part of it, going on the road, nobody trusts the Aztecs on the road, really. That's always an issue.
That's always fun.
Well, it makes for exciting games. I guess you want to go that route. Who does North Carolina have that frightens you on their team? They give up – yeah, they score almost 60, but 29, like I said, to a bad FCS team. At least, here's what we can at least say. It's not San Diego State from last year who blew it versus Eastern Illinois.
Right.
And then blew a chance versus Ohio State, then let Oregon State come back and do their thing.
So I'm going to go ahead and say this.
What are you going to say about this?
I think this game is going to be 3 points either way. It's going to come down to a field goal. It's not going to come down to a field goal, but whoever wins, they're going to win by 3 points.
Why do you think that?
I just think San Diego State going on the road to the East Coast, where they have had trouble. I think North Carolina, despite their start against a bad FCS team, is better than what probably we're perceiving them to be. However, I don't think that they are worthy of a top 25 ranking. I do not think that they are one of the better.
Weren't they five and seven last year or something like that?
Upper middle of the ACC.
Which is not, it's just probably the worst Power 5 league.
It is the worst Power 5.
Because after Florida State, Clemson, geez, nothing versus Georgia.
I'm going to go ahead and say, I think San Diego State pulls this one out.
I wouldn't be surprised because they're probably. I still think they're the favorite in the West. Nevada maybe thinking this wind up. You know how I like Nevada, but I just don't trust North Carolina for what. Oh, Hawaii, really? You're gonna give Hawaii that much credit already? Not if you listen to the guys from CBS Sports, like they gave up watching that game because they feel Washington's terrible now because they almost lost to Hawaii.
I think San Diego State will pull this one out. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I think they will.
On the road in Chapel Hill, they will beat North Carolina. Do you think people are going to watch this because it's on ESPN News? Or is it going to be the lost game somehow?
I think it's going to be the lost game somehow. And I think if San Diego State wins, they're going to win by 3. If San Diego State loses, they're going to lose by a field goal.
Here's the thing about North Carolina, which still puzzles me why they're that big of a favorite. Quarterback play was terrible versus Liberty. 3 total interceptions. Started Marquise Williams, 19-29 for only 169. They ran the ball for 200 yards, but they had 4 players over 40 yards, which is fine. They split it up, including Williams, because he'll run a little bit, and a couple touchdowns. He's a dual-threat guy. But overall, they were 4 yards of carry is not bad, but there ain't nobody dominant. Like, every statistic, see is just they spread the ball around to, what, 10 or 11 receivers here. They had plenty of guys run the ball. Maybe they're just similar to Nevada, where they'll be a versatile offense, where they'll run in both pass. But they won despite this game. I'm sorry if you somehow watched Liberty, North Carolina, I'm sorry for you. Liberty turned the ball over 6 times, UNC 4 times. UNC was only 9-17 on third downs. I'm going San Diego State for the win.
Okay.
For the outright win.
Okay.
Should that be my stupid pick, or is that reasonable to not be that?
Go ahead.
And then here's the thing, too. If you look at Pick Center, it's only a 59% chance North Carolina. Like, the final score, I don't know where they are coming out with this. I guess because it's a spread, but they're saying, like, a 34-20, 38-22 win. No. I think San Diego State has the talent to win this game. I think Vegas is up in the night on this one.
Okay.
So if you're at Northern Colorado, UNLV, what are you looking for?
What am I looking for?
Yeah, if you're going to that contest.
A pulse.
No, what? Much more than a pulse. Do you want to see a Shaquille Murray Lawrence get his way out of the doghouse and see the field?
I think, yeah. That's going to be the first thing. I'm going to see how Blake Decker throws when not under extreme pressure. He threw pretty well last week. I mean, not great, but pretty well considering it was his first start ever.
And there's some drops, too.
Yeah, there were some drops. I think he's just going to light up the field this week. I'm looking to see if the defense can completely shut down and not miss tackles.
I want to see what's the guy transferred from Washington? Was it Woosley?
Surely.
I mean, yeah, surely. See if he can get in the action and do something there. That would be a nice surprise.
But
they should win.
Once again, last week, a lot of the blowout was because just blown coverage, missed tackles. And I said this last week, I'm going to say it again this week. If UNLV can crack down on the missed tackles, limit it to hopefully zero, but only one, you're going to see a much different UNLV team this week.
All right, they're going to win.
I don't think they're as bad as what last week indicates.
All right, now we get to, they're going to win, that's fine. Sorry you're going to be missing these other good games.
I know, right?
Air Force, Wyoming.
The game starts at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Two of the games I'll be watching, you know, there from the tailgate.
The Arizona State, San Jose State game, New Mexico, those guys?
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about Air Force, Wyoming. Did you see, okay.
It starts at 8:15 Eastern time.
Pacific time. It's 10:15 Eastern, 8:15 Mountain time.
You have 8:15 Eastern time on your post.
No. Oh, I do?
Yes. Ah!
Time to edit. It's 10:15. I apologize. Jeez. Under which post? The schedule or my early odds?
Early odds.
Let me fix that.
So anyway, while he's going to do that, so Cowboys, are they still out at 2.5-point favorite?
It's 3 for Air Force.
Is it now 3 for Air Force?
Yeah, it swung all the way over to...
That's what happens when blowing out your opponent does, even though both of them are FCS.
Yeah.
One of these things that we can have to look out for, Air Force's running game, but Wyoming's rush defense.
They found a running game. Air Force did.
They did find a running game.
It's not who we thought.
Like, really lost a running game either.
Well, it's not. I thought it'd be Broom Hart, the starter, but it's not. They had 233 yards from Jacoby Owens. Not bad. We could average 10 yards a carry.
Absolutely.
That's decent, right? So what do you think? How do you think? Do people consider this a big rivalry game? Because typically,
because it's nothing.
Bronze even Boot or close whatever it's called. Border.
It's nothing even remotely close to the border war. I think it's rivalry in geography only, but outside of that, it's.
They're 90 minutes away, essentially.
How many minutes?
About 90.
Yeah, about that.
I don't, because Wyoming, because that was the big issue in our preseason stuff versus Wyoming, about Wyoming. They would give them the big play, the big running play. And Air Force, obviously, that's what they do. They're going to be the best rush, top five rushing offensive team in the country. They were okay, gave up 200 yards last week on the ground against Montana. Again, it sucks. You play an FCS team, what do you know? I got to go with, I don't know, Colby Kirkgaard looked okay, but his completion-wise looked okay, but he only had 92 yards on the game last week versus Montana. So it's like, you make nothing of that, even though he has pretty good guys like Tanner Gentry and Dominic Ruffin to throw the ball to. But we know what Craig Bull does. He's going to want to run the ball to Witt with Wick and May the whole game. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I see Wyoming winning this. I see it's going to be at least a touchdown.
At least a touchdown?
At least. It's not going to be more than 10, but it's at least a touchdown.
And what do you think the difference will be if they bowl? I'm assuming you have both teams running the ball well.
I think it's both teams running the ball well, but it's the actual passing offense when it does come down to it.
I think Air Force will pass the ball well?
Well, I think it's up in the air. Who was listed as the starter last week?
Pearson.
Cale Pearson?
Yeah, he started last week. It was like 3 of 7 or something.
Okay, so you're 3 of 7. Colby Kirkgaard was 9 of 18. Neither stats are particularly good. However, when it comes down to it, Colby Kirkgaard is a passer. And if you can have somebody who can at least effectively pass somewhat when they need to, then you're going to do a lot more damage. And so I think both of these teams will rack up at least 250 yards rushing. But I think the difference is Wyoming is going to have at least another 150 yards passing. And that's going to be the difference.
Okay. I'm going to go with Wyoming because Air Force was just awful last year. Even though, man, I like Jacoby Owens, what he's done. I think Wyoming's going to have more.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. Jacoby Owens will tear it up.
Yeah, because Air Force can do that. Even if they lose, they can have a guy going for 175 and averaging 7 to 9 per carry. I think you're right with the passing game being a little bit better for Wyoming. Even though, the only thing I'm concerned is that has Craig Bull gone up against an option style team like this? That's the only concern I have because it's a beast. It's completely different than any team they'll play ever throughout the whole season.
No, I think he's faced teams like this before.
We'll see. That's the only concern I have, and I think
Sam Houston State was a rush-heavy team.
They're the pistol, but they don't do like this type of offense. They don't do the cut blocking. It's the run base, not necessarily triple option, but that sort of running option, multiple sets out of one play. I think Wyoming's going to win, but it'll be a reasonably close game. Single digits, I'm assuming.
I'm actually looking up right now to see how many teams run the triple option.
Good luck finding that. Army, Navy, Georgia Tech, Air Force.
Yeah, those are the four lists.
Well, I know.
I don't think anybody knows about FCS teams.
That's what I mean. That's unless you're Georgia Southern, Georgia State does it, but they're now moving up.
No, it's Georgia Southern who did it.
Ooh, okay. Oh, yeah, they beat Florida without completing the pass or making the pass attempt or something like that last year. All right, so Wyoming's going to win. Let's move on to the next game. Should we do the best game for last, or should we go in our traditional chronological order?
I think chronological order.
All right, Colorado State at Boise State. Like we said at the very beginning, this is the best game of the week, in my opinion. This is going to decide something huge in the Mountain Division. Some feel this could be the winner is going to win the conference.
So real quickly, the Citadel and Georgia Southern are running flexible and triple option.
Thank you.
So back to what we are, though. This could be it. This could be the game that decides the Mountain West, except it won't because it's week two.
Yeah. It could have an impact.
I think what you're going to see is you're going to see two very good running backs duke it out, but it's going to really, it's another game that's going to actually come down to the pass.
Are you surprised that at the line of this game?
The line of this game, I see, what are they, 10.5?
Yeah, for Boise State. Is that surprising for you?
Yes and no. Yes, because it is 10.5. No, because remember that 3 points is just for home team advantage, and you can possibly throw in an extra point because Smurf turf.
I'm wondering, because the first 3 quarters Ole Miss, Boise was right there, even though all the errors they made in the passing game, they were right there until that fourth quarter collapse. I think the difference, yeah, we got the big matchup. We'll have some stuff going up tomorrow from some guys even today. DeHart, Jarrells, those two guys combined for 260, 3 touchdowns. DeHart's more of the guy. I don't know. They both played so well, but I maybe we're going toward Hart because he came from Alabama, highly recruited, finally getting that chance to play because he's healthy and move up the depth chart. Who do you think's a better back, Hart, Jarrells, or Jay Ajayi?
I'm going to go ahead and say this. I think Ajayi is better than Hart. But Hart has more of a smash mouth.
Correct. Well, Ajayi does as well, a little bit.
What? Ajayi does too, but Ajayi spins out.
True.
Yeah. Last week, one of my favorite plays was when Ajayi took a cut left, and then he evaded about 4 or 5 Ole Miss players by, like, if you were literally watching the TV, you were slamming the B button while you were watching it. Because he span at least 4 times before going down.
Sure, yeah. He'll go after, but yeah, I'm watching Hart. He took
Whereas
out.
Hart is the boss, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Plus, Ajayi caught so many passes out of the backfield. If you look what Boise's defense did, but they could be missing Tyler Horn, which could be a big issue in this game.
Yeah, so
they only allowed Ole Miss 2.1 yards per carry. So I think, well, the running game, I think they'll almost neutralize each other. I think Boise may have a little bit better running attack, perhaps. But I think it could come down to if Garrett Gracie can throw, because Boise State was, look at Bo Wallace, at almost 400 yards. If they can get Joe Hansley involved, and I know they're missing their tight end as well. But I think Garrett Grayson's going to have to step up if they're going to get the win. Because every past 2 years, Boise State has just smoked Colorado State. It has not even been close at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the first year Boise State.
35-0.
And it was a 50-0 win.
It was like 35-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah. This is not that Colorado State team.
Even last year with Capri Bibbs and everything, we figured, okay, they'll have a chance. They hung around for about a half, but still, I'm going to look up that score real quick, but it wasn't all that close last year either. And that was in Fort Collins. So
yeah,
what do you think the difference could be? I assume you're going with your Broncos to win, right?
Yes, I am.
Why do you think they're going to win then?
Why do I think? I think, first of all, tackling. They're focusing more on the tackling. They're focusing on not giving up the big play. The offense is shutting down. And it seemed like the coaches took ownership in the press conference afterwards. And they already saw things they wanted to fix. They already knew what they were going to do. And also, think about this. I believe I mentioned it earlier in the podcast that two starters for Colorado State are going to be out.
Yeah, cornerback and tight end.
Not safety, it's linebacker.
Oh, linebacker, excuse me.
Linebacker is going to be out, and he's out for at least 2 weeks. And tight end Kevon Cartwright, who, once again, first team all-conference. Think about this guy is going to be, he's going to be a big target and everything like that.
He only caught one pass last week versus Colorado.
He only caught one pass, but
he started Rashard Higgins, so.
Yeah. Grayson was kind of all over the place. I mean,
no, he's just awful. We can say it. 13-23, 134. And again, we give the credit for the come from behind win, but again, you beat one of probably the worst Pac-12 team there is.
Boise State is not Colorado.
No.
And so that's exactly what I think. So am I going to take the 10.5 points though?
You might have to, man. If you go on history and everything and kind of, I know that shouldn't really, we're not Phil Steele going back 10 years, but even last year with the best running back in the league by far, they still lost by 12 points.
I'm going to go Boise State. I'm going to go Boise State by 13.
I think Colorado State, I think Garrett Grayson's not going to have his worst game as he did last week.
No, I think Garrett Grayson's going to be a lot better than last week.
And I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be maybe mildly surprised if CSU wins.
I won't be surprised if CSU wins.
You won't at all?
No, I won't.
Interesting. I'll be sorry.
No.
I was watching this UTSA highlight. Sorry, the guy does a shovel pass about 10 yards and gets picked off. Like a push pass.
Look.
Sorry. Go ahead.
This is a very good Colorado State team compared to what Colorado State has been in the past. That being said, I wouldn't be surprised if Colorado State wins due to the fantastic rushing attack if Hart and Gerald can, you know, smash it through. And if Grayson can get on track and become one of the best quarterbacks in the conference again, that's the way Colorado State wins, and I'll be fine with that. However,
I don't think
both of those things are happening at the same time.
There you go. There's that too.
I really don't. I think Boise State is going to get it together, and I think they're going to rebound, and I think it's going to be, you know, first home game. It's not going to be as loud as Mile High Stadium.
Well, what's up with the needing like 6,000 tickets for this game? Home opener, you're not going to sell out? You might barely have 30,000 people there? That's pretty disappointing.
So this is what happened last year. Once again, same situation. 7,000 tickets were unsold, everything like that. And all of a sudden,
walk-ups.
Everybody bought tickets like the day of the game and showed up. They still had a 34,000. They still had a 34,000 not near capacity crowd.
Close.
Yeah. So
if you're a big fan, worried. Home opener should be sold out.
I think they're probably going to have 34,000 tomorrow.
Okay.
And seeing that Colorado State won last week, I think people are going to get a little bit more interested. And also, Coach Brian Harsin is actually going to hopefully start a new tradition tomorrow.
What's that?
He talked about this on the it was either talked about on the Idaho Statesman or he was talking about it on something else. They're going to do this thing called the Bronco Walk,
okay.
Which he wants his players to walk from University Avenue, University Drive, into the stadium.
They have that same thing. The University of Utah does that from their locker, from their on-campus facility, whatever their workout facility is. They walk about a mile to the stadium. Very cool. Definitely. Has Boise done this before?
No.
It's pretty cool. Like, you drive up, because we're at least where University of Utah does it, it's a reasonably busy street. It's about a 20-minute deal. They walk about a mile or so. They walk up, the fans are walking up, it's right into the gate to get to the tickets, to get through.
They're not just going from their football facility. They won't go from the Blaine Meyer facility or the Stuckel Sky Center or the practice field. No, they're going to be coming from University Drive, which is a fair walk. I would say it's probably a good tenth to almost 2/10 of a mile from where it is to where it is.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing. It's like half a mile or so, almost.
Yeah.
It's one of those types. Yeah. They're not walking up the main street. It's too busy to do where Utah would do it, but they go like perpendicular to that main street where they're walking across. But still, it's... Everybody high fives, you run up the players and stuff. It's pretty cool, and kids do that. So it's excellent thing. If they're doing that, that's a smart move. And so some people should like and check it out. So do I need to give my prediction? Because I have not said exactly what I'm
going to do. Yeah, you might as well.
I got to go Boise State here. But it's going to be about a touchdown, within a touchdown. They're going to cover CSU. I just think if the Mountain West wants a team to go to the New Year's Day Bowl, they need CSU to win this game. Even though technically it's conference champion, but you still want to have your best team there. And so far, we don't know about San Diego State because they played FCS team. I think CSU, if the league wants that to happen, they want CSU to win. but I'm going to go Boise.
So you think Boise is going to ruin everything?
I did not say that. I said if the league wants a New Year's Day bowl game, they'd like to have Colorado State be the winner on Saturday. But also, Boise State isn't going to 0-2 in who knows how long, right?
Yeah.
Final game of the night. Back to the islands. I'm hoping if it's Aaron Taylor calling this game again that he got to stay in Hawaii for the week. Because that would be pretty cool. Oregon State at Hawaii. So who's better, Oregon State or Washington?
Washington.
You really think so?
Oh, yeah.
Their quarterback is awful. Sean Mannion, in my opinion, is probably the best pure passer in the Pac-12.
Yeah, but did you not see, while Washington didn't take care of business against Hawaii, Oregon State hardly took care of business against Portland State.
Sure, I do see that 29-14 score, and we know historically Oregon State's
26-14.
Yeah, they are terrible at the start of the year. And they should have won by more when they're +4 in the turnover margin, but their third down conversion was terrible. Their offense looks pretty good with Mannion and Stormwood running the ball. They have a lot of weapons in offense. Hawaii's just going to have to make some stops. Because it shouldn't be too difficult, unless Oregon State just sleepwalk and they go 3-14 versus a bad Portland State team. Well, maybe not bad, but an FCS team. Do you think that really is enough to consider to make Hawaii maybe win this game?
I think Hawaii very much has the potential to win this game. And you said save the best for last. I'm saving the best for last. Here's my stupid upset pick of the week.
It's only 11-point favorite for Oregon State.
Yeah. And this game is where? This game is at Oregon State, right?
No, it's in Hawaii.
It's in Hawaii. Are you kidding me? It's in Hawaii?
Yeah, they get
packed. And you're telling me...
Pac-12 team back-to-back at home, man.
No, I totally Oregon State is one. This Oregon State team's picked to finish, I think, last in the North.
No, Cal is behind them. Washington State's behind them. They were not last. It's Oregon, Stanford, and then Oregon State / Washington. They're third or fourth. They're middle of the pack in the North.
No, they were below Washington.
That wouldn't surprise me, but they're third or fourth. They're right there. They are. Regardless, but you think that's bad, though. The Pac-12 North is possibly like one of the best division in all of college football.
Right. And I think that Oregon State, not taking care of business last week, they're in for a serious letdown this week.
It's possible. Plus, like I said, Oregon State traditionally starts terribly to begin the season. I just think Hawaii's going to – this could come into a shootout, and Ikeel Woosley needs to throw the ball much better because he – while I throw those darts to people, he's not throwing the ball as accurate as he needs to.
Oh, yeah.
And that's an issue. He needs to complete the passes. Yeah, Oregon State, sorry, they're fourth. When you look at Pre-Stacy, they're fourth. And quite a bit of ways behind Washington. I don't know if Hawaii could. I want to see Hawaii win because I was very excited of how they played last week. They slowed down Washington, but again, Washington had in so many new players. Oregon State they don't have Brandon Cooks anymore, so they're breaking a lot of new wide receivers. I just think it's going to come down to Hawaii. They got Woosley use him. They got Joey Issefa use him. They just need Woosley to throw the ball better and then have their secondary make some plays against Sean Mannion. Either defensive line attacks him, well, I guess the defense in general. Defensive line can get to Mannion or the secondary just make some plays in that end. But I want to say Hawaii wins, and maybe I'm going to be too hard on them, but I don't think they're going to get it done. I think Oregon State's a much better team than Washington, and it's not even close. Based on what we saw last week.
You also hear that Washington wasn't using its starting quarterback last week.
Sure. But then, yeah. But think of it this way. He threw for 100, and Lindquist threw for 175, and one of those passes was that 91-yard touchdown. So he really only threw for 80 yards. And so that's why I'm thinking Oregon State's much better.
I disagree. I think Hawaii's going to cover.
And win?
And win. I'm telling you, it's my stupid upset pick of the week.
Interesting. Maybe. I don't know. I liked Hawaii last week. I'm down on Washington. I think they'll cover, but it'll be a game like last week. It'll come down to the wire, and but they won't get it done, unfortunately. So that's where I stand. Do we have anything else to add for the week? Because this might actually end under 1 hour, maybe.
No, I'm pretty much good.
You're good. So you're at Northern Colorado UNLV. How are you going to keep track of these other games then?
Cell phone, dude.
Cell phone, okay. Are you going to leave at halftime if it's a big win for UNLV?
Nope. Why would I do that?
I mean, to catch the other games if they're more competitive. I'm just saying. Your Broncos are playing at the same time.
Yeah, I know. It sucks, but it's football, and I get to go to the live football.
Sure. Question, do they have Wi-Fi at Sam Boyd Stadium? Even though you're probably going to laugh at me.
They might.
Then you might be able to pull up a stream of Boise State.
I might.
At least maybe if it's a not competitive game. Find a tower and sit next to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all we got for tonight, our week 2 preview. Sorry this is so late. We will make an attempt to not have it post Friday morning or something.
There are people who were asking me, why isn't the podcast published yet, so we better get this out tonight.
I know. I already put the post up. I will upload and edit a few things here. We'll get it going, but because I assume you said you're busy Wednesday night, Phil. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have class all night Wednesday.
Jeez, you ruin everything. No, I'm kidding.
I'm like the Padres.
We will figure it out. We will probably preview early in the week, but we'll make sure we're these out earlier. We had a few delays on Thursday, but we're good to go. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. Again, until we get to 400 followers, only follow Greek Padre. Only. That means you better deliver some good stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
You're at the game, man. You got to be able to tweet some good stuff there, right?
Possibly.
At least people watch or take pictures of empty seats at Sam Boyd, right?
Well, see, if I took pictures of empty seats at Sam Boyd, then it wouldn't be exciting, would it?
Depends what you're looking for.
Yes, that was a UNLV fans, get your butts to the seats.
It's your win. I want to see Marcus Sullivan and Devontae Davis play very well. All right, again, that's all we got tonight. That's Chris there, hanging out in Las Vegas. Jeremy here, not in Las Vegas, somewhere else in Utah. But yeah, check us out. Like I said, mwcconnection.com. Check out our live thread Friday night for Washington State, Nevada, all day Saturday. Hey, download, listen. Like I say, comments, good or bad. We're getting a lot of people to comment on the site. Comment during the games. That's what I want. During the games. Is that too much to ask, Chris?
It might be.
Jeez, thanks for letting the air out of that. Okay.
Look how many Facebook comments we get.
Yeah.
Only when you get those Facebook comments out during the games.
Yeah, check us out at Facebook. Just search Mountain West Connection. We're posting anything and everything over there. And we're getting a lot of comments on the site as well. But yeah, check us out there. And hey, check out week 2 of football's here, and let's hope for a better than a 1-5 FBS record versus FBS, okay guys? And with that, we'll see everybody next time for our Sunday night show.